You're all we need, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by You, Lord. Father, we stand here in White Plains, New York this day, and we boldly declare, we give full witness, all other gods are false. There is no other way to God. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. Jesus, You are the way. You are the truth. And You are the life. Jesus, we belong to You. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We understand who You are. We understand better and better what You've done for us. Who we are. Where we're from, why we're here. Now, Father, we magnify and glorify and honor You here tonight, Father. The end result of all we're doing is that You may have Your way in the earth. So, Father, this people has gathered together. I know if they hear My voice alone, they won't be helped. But if they hear Your voice, they will be helped. I yield myself, Father, right now. Take control. By Your Spirit, Lord, make this tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I could speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity and clarity. Lord, anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve. Cause that peace and that calmness of spirit and mind to come, where Your voice is heard clearly, so that they may hear, Lord, not only what the Spirit of God is saying to the church at large, but to each one of them individually. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, move among Your flock. Touch them. Speak softly to them. Heal them. Bless them. And Holy Spirit, You're so welcome in this place. Yield ourselves to the teacher. It's our earnest desire and our earnest expectation that when we leave here, we will not be the same as when we came. We give You praise for these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's good to be here again. Boy, you guys are diehards. Some of you I know stayed last night pretty late. Some are driving quite a ways, I know. And go to work all day, get all cleaned up again, come back for more. Hallelujah. And I know what Jesus said. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst. They shall be filled. Amen. Glory to God. I think He's going to do some more filling tonight. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover. So those of you that get the tapes from the prayer center, you probably heard Angie Hendricks say, get on with it. So let's do just that. Let's dive right back in. Go to Matthew 17. I guess that's kind of our launching pad for this series. Now again, partly because I know that we have some new people every night, and there's no way that I can reteach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. But yet we are going to touch on just a few things, not just for new people, but you know, we've all slept since we were here last night. The world is very daily and with its cares and activities and things that we must do. So now it's time to get all of our minds going back down a path because the Holy Spirit wants to teach us some things. So we're just going to quickly review some things because, boy, he's got some pearls for you tonight. I can't wait to hear them myself. I think one reason why these tapes bless people, you can't deny I'm excited about it. I get as excited about it as anybody else. I go, wow, did you see that? Look at there. Wow, hallelujah, glory to God. Who knew that was in there? Hallelujah. As Dave would say, makes you wonder what's in the Bible. Hallelujah. So here we are in Matthew 17. And most of you know what's going on here. There was a man that had brought his lunatic son. And really, it could have been anything. I mean, cerebral palsy, it could have been any disease you could name. In this particular case, though, he said, my son's a lunatic. This thing throws him in the fire. It throws him in the water. And like I said last night, he says, I brought him to your church. Well, I brought him to your disciples, modern day. Where would they bring them? They bring them to church. And trouble is, the same report today, sadly, is what pretty much was the report then in most churches, even the best. He says, I brought him to thy... Well, let's see, just verse 16, Matthew 17, 16. I brought him to thy disciples. I brought him to your church. And they could not cure him. And sadly, that's the testimony pretty much across the land and around the world. Now, we thank God for everything that does happen. Thank God for the moving of the gifts. I thank God for every... I mean, we've seen people healed at our church. You've seen people healed at this church. We can, you know, you go to a Benny Hinn crusade, you see a lot of people healed, but you see a lot of them leave that don't get healed. But yet, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus healed them all. The vast majority of the time, he healed them all, and if he didn't, there was a specific reason, like their unbelief. But anyway, so, but sadly, wouldn't you agree, this is pretty much the situation we have in the church. Now, see, the sad part there is because, oh my, I'm not going to get to be quite as nice tonight. Okay. Oh, good, Lynn says. See, what happens there is they bring them very often, and this is what's happening, you know, that they bring them, we pray, we turn ourselves inside out, as Dave would say, we milk every fiber for faith, we do all that we know how to do, and nothing happens. Well, over 2,000 years of that, so often that then they're, you know, why? Why, Pastor? Why didn't it happen? Well, all kinds of junk has been said about that, like, well, it's just not the Lord's will. See, that's the doctrine I was raised under. You just never can tell what the Lord's will is. Might be His will to heal them. Might be His will not to heal them. I was raised under that. It took the Holy Ghost a long time. Hey, when you're 4, 5, 6 years old and you grow up under the pew and there's a guy up there dressed in black normally that, you know, supposedly speaking for God and with all that authority and he'd, you know, I'd stretch that bony finger, look at me like that thing was reaching all the way across the auditorium right to my nose and say stuff, you know. It goes in deep. It goes in deep and it took a long time. The only way the Holy Ghost ever busted me out of that, He gave me another homework assignment, and he says, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find one time, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, you go through there and find one time where Jesus ever said to anybody who came for healing, it's not the Father's will to heal you. You'll never find it. You can do the same homework assignment if you want to. I've already done it. You're not going to find it. But we have to have some reason to justify our unbelief. I mean, to justify why we don't have any results. We have, so that's one of them that the church often has come up with. It just might not be the Father's will to heal that person. The second one, real common, it's not the Lord's timing. Oh, it's the Lord's timing, you know. And it's definitely the Lord's, you know, they're past that stage where they think it might not be the Lord's will to heal. Thank God for that. They're past that stage, but now they still don't know why they don't get healed. And so now it's, well, yes, it is the Lord's will to heal you. But, you know, God's got a timing. And then you start quoting from Ecclesiastes, you know, to everything there is a season. And on and on. And it's just not the Lord's timing yet to heal you. You just stand in faith and you come back and the Lord will heal you. Because it's just not His timing. He has a perfect timing for you. Oh, baloney. Again, homework assignment. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yourself. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Word says Jesus is the express, and that means exact image of God. All you got to do, I challenge you, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see if Jesus ever once told anybody, yes, it is the Father's will to heal you, however, not today. Come back, we'll set an appointment, I checked with the Father. He intends to heal you the third Thursday in July at 10 a.m. in the morning. You come back then, and the Lord... Is that ridiculous or what? Yes, there is no such thing like that in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Man comes up with crazy stuff like that because we won't admit the real problem. We won't admit it. It's hard to admit it, but it's absolutely the truth. So let's see what happened here. This man, he brought his lunatic son. This particular, whatever it was, epilepsy or whatever, had strong manifestations that would throw him around, throw him into the fire, throw him into the water. I'm sure that had a, that would, you know, hey, when you're standing up here and they're fixing to call a prayer line, you're praying, let it just be a headache. Let it just be a headache. You know? And you've got one coming up, you know, and he's thrashing and flopping and all over the place. And boy, I mean, all of a sudden your prayer life gets strong. Oh, somebody, Bucko, somebody, Jesus, help me, Jesus, you know. See? Well, this guy was coming up and had serious manifestations, and that affected them. And, it, you know, they weren't able to cast this devil out. Well, Jesus, he didn't put up with that nonsense. And again, we don't want to spend all night here, but he just says, step aside, you faithless, perverse generation. How long am I going to be here? How long am I going to have to do this for you? Bring that boy to me. Bring that boy to me. And I mean, he didn't, you know, mince any words. He didn't waste any time. He cast that devil out. And it left. And that boy was cured from that hour.
Amen.
Not 3 weeks from now. Not some other timing. Now! What is God's timing? The instant you believe it. What's His timing for you to be healed? The instant you believe it. What's His time for you to prosper? The instant you believe it. Boy, that was a hard one. I have 5 free series of tapes that the Lord taught me. We call that FS1, stands for Financial Series 1. It is the core of what we teach. Any of you can have it free and postage paid for the asking. Our website is www.garycarpenter.org, and there's a form right there, and you can just fill it out, send it in, and this lovely young lady right here will make sure you get the tapes. Our daughter Erin. Okay? Now you say, I don't have a computer. All right, you can contact us through this ministry. If you get a tape, I'll just go ahead and put our mailing address on there, on this tape, so you'll have it if you get the tape. It's just Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74157. Now, just in case you're wondering, we got a lot of people in here that's been on my mailing list a long time. Raise your hand so the new ones can tell. Do I charge anything for the tapes?
No.
Do I ever send you an appeal letter?
No.
Will I ever send you one? Never will either. I mean, this one is for real. This offer is free. And if you don't like them, I'll give you your money back. But now, when we all stand, I'll tell you one reason why I do it that way. When we stand before Jesus, and all of us are going to, I don't want you to say, you're not going to be able to say, I could not prosper because Gary charged for the tapes and I couldn't afford it. Because I'm going to step right up there and say, I told them the tapes were free, Jesus. The money back guarantee, and if they didn't get them, it's their fault.
Amen.
Amen? But that revelation right there, what's the... Believe, see, I can't get into that tonight. That is my first love, is the teaching along that line, okay? And I have to restrain myself with everything. But that's already on tape. See, He didn't send me here to teach you what we already have available free. We're plowing new ground here, okay? But we're fixing to come into the end times, and we're going from a pretty much a gospel in word only to the gospel of power. Now, that's where we're going. That's what this is about. We're probably going to call this series Mustard Seed Faith. But it's really, you know, we read it to you, I think the first two services, where Paul said, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Amen. That's where we're going. Hallelujah. All right, well, lack of power was the problem here in Matthew 17. No power to cast out that devil. They couldn't get, to just talk plain, they couldn't get it done. Brought the boy. Boy needs the devil cast out. I'm sure that Peter was with Jesus. I'm sure the disciples that was there did everything we do. Pled the blood. Commanded that devil to go. Used a loud voice. Shouted and jumped. Did everything a Pentecostal knows to do. You know? And still that devil wouldn't come out. You know? And Jesus comes. Says, step aside, boys. You faithless. I wonder what kind of... Oh, no. You faithless and perverse, he says, generation. How long am I going to have to do this for you? How long am I even going to be here? Bring that boy to me. And he cast that devil out. And I mean, it's skedaddled. I was trying to use a more proper word, but that devil left. Okay? Well, now, the disciples, being wise men, who did not want to be publicly shamed, they asked Jesus if he could meet with them privately at the local Denny's. Do y'all have Denny's here? You don't even have Denny's here, huh? How about Starbucks?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. The point being, they wanted a private meeting. You know? They didn't want this broadcast. Little did they know it would be in the Word of God for everybody to read forever. God has a way of dealing with that pride thing, you know? Well, verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and that means privately, and they said, and they really didn't know. Now, here's the scary thing. Hey, and if you've been in those situations, prayed with, I know this woman, and I know she knows me, and Dave, and Christy, and many more, mm-hmm. have prayed our hearts out over certain situations. And we don't know why. Mm-hmm. We don't know why, and neither did these men. The whole church right now, Benny Hinn, I've heard him say many times, the first question I'm going to ask Jesus, he says, when I get there, is why didn't they all get healed? Mm-hmm. Meaning he doesn't know why they don't. And these disciples didn't know why that devil didn't come out. So it's an honest question. They're sincere. Why could we not cast that devil out? But the answer is so hard. He just doesn't mince any words. He just goes straight for the jugular, doesn't he? Jesus said, why is there no power in the church? Because of your unbelief. The most accurate translation, you could read it in the Amplified, says, because of the littleness of your faith. Then he goes on with this famous passage, which is what we're talking about today. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing, everyone say nothing, shall be impossible to you. Isn't that something? Now, what's really interesting is that all of us learned in Sunday school from verses like this, that mustard seed faith, when he's talking about this, means, see there, because a mustard seed is tiny, all it takes is a little faith to move the mountain. And yet he just got through telling them the littleness of your faith would not get the job done when it come to casting out a devil. Now, we're not going to reteach last night's message. We went very slowly and methodically through this, teaching what it was, but just real quickly, how the Holy Ghost started arresting me on this and getting my attention. He gave me an assignment. Because I had always been taught that little faith, mustard seed faith, means just a little bit of faith is enough to move the mountain. And the Holy Spirit said, find one time anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus commended somebody for having little faith. I started going through there and looking up. I have the Bible on computer. So I just type in little faith, search them all, everywhere that he said it. I looked at all of them. Here's just a few. Don't turn there. We're going way beyond here tonight. This is last night's tape. But just to get your mind going this way again. Matthew 8:26. This is when the storm rose and they paddled all night in a boat and they were about to sink. And finally they woke Jesus up. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The comment I wrote there, little faith won't stop the storm. Won't stop, didn't get the job done. He said they had little faith, didn't he? Wouldn't get the job done. How about when Peter was walking on the water, and don't get me wrong, I'm impressed by that. Peter really impressed me on that one. He did walk on the water. But you know what happened? He got his eyes off Jesus, looking at the waves and the wind, began to sink. And what Jesus said to him there, stretched forth his hand and caught him. That's Matthew 14:31. You don't need to turn there. It's on the tape. And said unto him, now, The man just walked on the water, but now he's sinking. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So the comment that I wrote under that one, little faith is not enough to keep you from sinking. It won't stop the storm. It won't keep you from sinking. And then just a third one to put a final nail in this coffin here. Okay? One time when Jesus was teaching the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and warning them about that, when he mentioned leaven, they thought he was talking about bread, and they got fearful that maybe he was going to get onto them because they didn't bring any bread. And what he said to them in Matthew 16:8, he says, when Jesus perceived that, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? The comment I wrote under there, little faith is not enough to stop you. Little faith is not enough to stop worry about your provision. Y'all about had it with little faith?
Yeah.
I've had it with little faith. I can't find anywhere where Jesus was happy with little faith. And if little faith won't move the mountain, and if little faith won't stop the storm, and if little faith won't keep me from sinking, and if little faith won't keep me from worrying about my position, I've had it with little faith. I think it's time to move on to what Jesus was impressed with, and that's called great faith. Amen? Now, I think you got a clue last night. Real, because he does say in this verse, he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's the kind of faith that will move the mountain. Amen? So we got into it last night. I got to go quickly. We'll try and Sue calls me the master of synopsis. We'll try to do this in 5 minutes. What he's really talking about there is when we went to Mark chapter 4 where the sower sows the word. And praise God for the sower sowing the word and all the messages we've heard about it. But see, Jesus, he isolated that particular parable. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. And I've heard so much teaching on that, and I've done so much teaching, and all of that is accurate about the sower sows the word, and you get a harvest from it. But see, really what he's teaching there, and the reason it's so foundational that we understand it, he's teaching the new birth. Because what God, when he says the sower sows the word, that word there is logos. The sower sows the logos. All right? In the beginning was the logos. The logos was with God, and the logos was God. Romans tells you that the day you got born again, God the Father placed the Spirit of His Son into your heart. Literally, He sowed the Logos, the Spirit of Christ. That's what we call the new nature into us. And it comes in seed form. That's what Jesus is telling us in Mark chapter 4. So, again, all of this is in great detail on last night's tape. It's not the size of the mustard seed Jesus was talking about. You plant a mustard seed, the kind they have in Israel. Well, that's a little bitty thing. What matters is the image that's on the inside of the seed. That's what produces a mustard tree plant that's 15 foot tall in one season? From a seed the size of a peppercorn? The image in the seed. In a natural seed, you plant a corn, you know, a kernel of corn, there's an image in there. There's an image of a whole stalk, green, 6, 7, 8 foot tall, with several, ears with kernels and all of that on it, see? There's several, but the image is in that seed. Same thing with the mustard seed. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, what matters is the image in the seed, because that's ultimately what you're going to be reproduced in the earth. Well, good Lord, we understand that about a natural seed. What image is in that seed of the Spirit you received when God sowed the Spirit of His Son into your heart? Is He not called the seed who would come? Till the seed come? Remember? Alright? So when He says the sower sows the Logos, He's really teaching the new birth. Think of the potential of the image that's within each and every one of you. And now here's the scary part. We'd all like to think that Paul Well, do you admire Paul, the Apostle Paul? We would like to think, because of all he accomplished for the kingdom, we'd sure like to think that when he got born again, that he just received something a little bit more than we did. But he didn't. God is no respecter of persons. He received exactly the same thing when he got born again that each and every one of us received when we got born again. That's why the reward is based on what you do with that new nature.
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do with it? See, that's why the reward is based on that, because we all receive the same thing starting out of the gate. Get the same nature. First time I ever heard Dave preach that, I would say, it isn't so, Dave. No, I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that, Dave. It'd be a lot easier for me to think Paul was just special. Well, he was. God says that, you know, I've chosen this man for an assignment. Guess what? He chose you for an assignment too.
Amen.
God calls. I ain't looking at nobody now. I cannot find pew sitter as a calling in the body of Christ. Can't find that one. I'm a pew sitter. What do you do for the body? I go to church. What do you do when you get there? I sit in a pew. What do you do the next time you come? I go to church. What do you do when you get there? I sit in a pew. I can't find that calling. I've looked. I can't find it. He's got stuff for us to do, each and every one of you. And make no difference if you're a child, a teenager, an adult, or 55 and older, like me. Hey, you know what? This body keeps telling me it's 55, and I just refuse to believe it. I feel like I'm just getting started. Hallelujah, you know. It keeps trying to tell me that, but I just flat refuse to believe it. Anyway, now, going over to Mark. And now we're going to pick up where we were last night and press on. Press on to some more good things. One of my favorite songs is by Bob Dylan, Pressing On. Hallelujah. I keep pressing on. Mark chapter 4, we're just going to look at the third example. Jesus gave he was teaching this parable about the sower sows the word, and most of you have heard so many messages but on that, you could stand up here and teach those as well as I can. But we're going to look at it now from the new birth experience, because that's really what he's talking about. And that's why if you don't understand this, you're going to have a hard time with all the rest of the New Testament. If you don't understand how the new birth works, then that's going to lock up a lot of the mysteries in the rest of the parables. You've got to understand how this works. All right? So we're going to get into Mark 4. Let's start in verse 30. Because he's talking about this mustard seed again here, see? Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a... Here it is again, see? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which... when it is sown in the earth, by the way, that's you. He sowed it, the new nature, into you. But why? When it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. And what will it look like when it grows up? It will look like the image on the inside of the seed. In this natural example, it will produce a 10 to 15 foot tall mustard seed plant. But he's really teaching a spiritual principle, and he's saying the image on the inside of the seed God's sowing in your heart is me, Christ Himself. And if that ever grows up in it, if that grows up in us, honey, the devil's in trouble. We're going to think like him, have the same motivations as him, walk like him, talk like him, act like him, have the same anointing, and have the same results.
Amen.
The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. He knew he was the seed. We started this off Sunday morning out of John 12. He said, a seed, as long as it abides, is just alone. It's just a single seed. But if it's willing to die and fall into the ground, it multiplies and produces much fruit. Look to your neighbor and say, hello, fruit. You know, in Hebrews 12, where it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Look to your neighbor and say, hello, joy. He had you on his mind when he did that. He never had it in his understanding that the church would come to no power when he was resurrected. No. What was on his mind is, Father, right now I'm the only vessel on earth that has the life of God on the inside of me. But I'm willing to go to the cross. I'll be like that seed, be planted in the earth. But Lord, when you raise me again, that's going to make that same life available to whoever will receive it, free by grace, free through faith by grace. And Lord, this work won't be ended. It'll be multiplied thousands upon millions of times. I mean, he had a worldwide occupation in mind over the works of the devil. Not just one anymore, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, going about destroying the works of the devil everywhere he finds it, but millions upon millions of seed produced from the original. And that's us. No wonder he said, those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They lay hands on the sick. And he's not talking about just the fivefold ministry there. He said, those that believe, do you believe?
I believe.
I'm telling you, he's taken the church from a gospel of word only to a gospel of power. And he's doing a quick work.
Amen.
I mean, if he can get this kind of stuff across to an old boy that just started just driving trucks and start praying, think what he can do with you. Think about it. Hallelujah. Got quiet on that one. See, got quiet on that one, didn't it? Anyway, he can, though. He's the same teacher. Just cause my calling happens to be a teacher in the body of Christ, you know, if I could lay at my house and I could lay out on the porch and sunbathe in the summer, and I guess, I don't know, sit by the fireplace in the winter and never pray, never pray, never pray, never pray, never meditate the Word just because I'm called to be a teacher. Well, let me put it to you this way. I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for 12 years before I ever heard the message of praying in other tongues. Odd how he didn't show up during those 12 years, and I was called to be a teacher the whole time. Soon as I started doing the message that most of you are familiar with, Pastor Dave Roberson, praying in other tongues, edification, mortification. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Listen, okay, I'm in the right church. Okay. Once I started that, all of a sudden, here comes revelation upon revelation, upon vision, upon voice, upon vision, upon voice, upon vision, upon revelation. And I'm writing this stuff down, conforming to it. And I'm going, my goodness, I've had the Holy Ghost for 12 years, and I guess I never knew how to let Him be my teacher. Just because I'm happens to be what He's called me to do, doesn't give me an automatic insight into revelation knowledge. I got to go pray myself.
That's right.
You got to go pray yourself. Now, He may not call you to teach like this, but He's got a calling for you beyond, and I'm not pointing at anybody. He's got a calling beyond pew sitting, I guarantee you that. He's got something for you to do. And the Holy Ghost, boy, Sunday? He may find you 46 miles away. With the day you start praying in other tongues, maybe you're 46 miles away. If this carpet represents God's perfect will for your life, and all of a sudden one day you say, okay, I'm just going to start praying in tongues. And the Holy Ghost finds you. He says, my God, it's a good thing I'm God. This person is 46 miles away from God's will for their life. Keep praying. And he'll just gently, just like a little, he'll just take you like a little lamb. He'll just start walking you back towards God's perfect will. Step by step, gentle by gentle. He'll get you there if you don't stop. Now you got to understand, the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail trying to get you to stop. Endurance is the key. Endurance. Getting ahead of my own self. Hallelujah here. So anyway, if we got that part, real mustard seed faith then, what it really is doing whatever it takes to nurture and bring to maturity the image on the inside of the seed. Have you got that?
Yes.
All right. And spiritually what we're talking about is nurturing the new nature so that the image of Christ that is already in there, the programming's already there, can, Ephesians will tell you, grows up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's what it's all about. And if that mustard seed faith is continuing to do the things. Although, most of my relatives in Oklahoma are farmers. I don't know what summer is like here. We get 104, 106. It gets hot, dry, and dusty in Oklahoma. And let me tell you something. To be a farmer there in the natural, you better have some gumption. You better have some stick-to-itiveness. Because, boy, I mean, it gets hot. And you put on that big straw hat. But still, nothing in you really wants to go back out into the fields today. But if you don't go out into the fields today, you're going to see, because you're going to have to irrigate. You're going to have to weed, keep the weeds away from your crop. You're going to have to fix that scarecrow to keep the crows from eating it up. There's things you're going to have to do. And farming is not an easy job. Okay? Well, we've been called to tend the seed, protect it, nourish it, focus on it. That's what mustard seed faith really is doing whatever it takes, whether you feel good about it, whether you don't feel good about it, whether there's a brush of angels' wings and harps in your prayer closet, or whether it's so dry, as Pastor Dave would say, every statement is like cracker juice. Sandalabraco. I love you, Jesus. What do you do on those days? Most people quit. No, you continue on. There is no such thing. I'm just telling you now. You can take this one to the bank. There is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. There is no such thing as that. Think about what you're really doing. Who is praying for you? The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you according to God's perfect will. Now, there's times when I feel emotionally good during that hour, or, you know, an hour. There's times when it's dry as cracker juice. Does that change the fact that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for me, bringing me from 46 miles away, hour by hour by hour, understanding by understanding, here a little, there a little, right back to the perfect will of God? All right. Now, we're going to have to talk about this one. I should have had you hold together. You're going to have to find this Matthew 17 again. Stay in Mark 4. Don't leave Mark 4 now. Pinch together, as we'd say in Oklahoma. Pinch together. Mark 4 and Matthew 17. I'll find out later. Anyway, we understand now at least what mustard seed faith is. It's developing the image, doing whatever is required, just like a farmer in the field, doing what's required to protect and nourish his crop until the full image comes. All right? We're doing the same thing. Mustard seed faith is doing those things that will nurture and protect and cause the image of Christ within us to grow up to full stature. And boy, I have no doubt when that happens, nothing will be impossible unto us. Amen? All right, now how do you do it in a practical way? The way I feel about preaching, if y'all get all pretty like you are and drive across town, some of you drove from other states, Connecticut and God knows where all, you know, and for y'all to do that and come here and listen for an hour and a half or whatever, and the end result of my message is, have more faith, I wasted your time. You knew you needed more faith before you come here. Or if the end of my message was, you need to walk in more love, sister, you just need to walk in more love. Didn't you knew that before you come? We all need to walk in more love, don't we? See, I wasted your time. But if I can tell you how can I walk in more faith? How can I walk in more love? How can I walk in more power? How can I operate this mustard seed faith? If I can get you some how, Boy, now we've done you some good. Amen? So let's see how Jesus started it. He flat told them there in Matthew 17. He said, it's because of the littleness of your faith. And then he tells them about mustard seed faith. He says, now if you have mustard seed faith, you will be able to cast that devil out, and you will be able to move mountains. Isn't that right? He gives them a good clue right at the end. This is Matthew 17:21. How be it, or this is how it be, this kind goeth not out. And he's not talking about that devil. The size of the devil wasn't the problem. He didn't see anything about it's a big devil. No, the size of their faith was the problem. So when he says, this kind goeth not out, this kind what? This kind of unbelief, this kind of littleness of faith goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, to make the impact on you, I'm sorry to do this, because I like tapes, I like books, I like all those things, I like good messages, I like going to church, I like hearing Dave, I like hearing Christy, I like hearing Norval, I like all that, all right? Notice he does not say, this kind go without, but by cassette tapes, by listening to good messages. Although we're for cassette tapes, and we're for good messages. No, he said this kind, it goes out. Let me give you a good clue. Ring, ring. Clue phone. Ring, ring. You're going to have to, it's good to listen to those messages. It's good to read those books. Be sure you come and listen to that Gary Carpenter when he comes to town. But see, that alone is not going to change you. You yourself are going to have to get involved with the Holy Ghost through prayer. You yourself. We'd like to say, Jesus, I want all you. How many of you would say this? I want all you have, Jesus. Yeah, would you like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I want all you have. But see, what we don't say out loud, we don't really think about it this way, but what we mean is, I want to walk in miracles and power. I want to be able to cast out devils in your name, but please leave me alone. I want all of your power and all of that anointing, but you don't need to change me, do you? We leave that. We don't even think about that, but that's really what we're thinking. But he does have to change us, because that image isn't like us. The image that he is, see, that's what grows up, that produces the fruit on the inside. And if you haven't noticed, it's different. And he tells you that. He's really honestly telling you that in Mark 4 again. He's still got it pinched. I do that on purpose, because people tease me when I say pinch. So I thought, well, I just say it all the time then. Pinch. Mark 4. Go back to Mark 4 now. Now see? He says this new nature, verse 30. We're going to compare the kingdom of God, verse 31. It's like this new nature that's going to be sown in your heart, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in your heart, when the new nature comes into you at the new birth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And that's what I mean when I say this nature that comes from God, notice it's different and it's smaller than all the other stuff that's already in you. What kind of stuff? Love of money stuff. Love of self stuff. Love of the fear of man. Love, you know what I mean by that? You want their respect and their esteem. Love of your traditions. Lots of things, see. The Holy Ghost gave me this phrase. It just came out of my mouth. I really liked it. See, the problem is, God looking at it, if our heart represents the field that He sowed the new nature into, here's the problem. He has sown the seed in a field that's full of me trees. We got a full-grown harvest already of me trees on the inside. Y'all remember my first list?
Yeah.
That's fruit from the me trees. I need a new pickup. I need a raise. I need this and I need that. I want a new Dodge. I want people to admire me. Or, you know, I didn't say it quite like that. You'd phrase it differently so you wouldn't be so prideful, you know. But, you know, you read that list, there's no doubt that list was all about me. The new nature, would you go with that? The new nature comes in. God sows it into a field that's already full of fully grown me trees. This is all about me. My car, my house, my family, my ministry. Isn't that right? But he says here, and he knows that. See, he knows that. And if it was possible for the fruit to come in that condition, then why the next verse? We wondered, why hasn't there been power? Why hasn't there been production? The me trees have been keeping the seed dwarfed. Little growth. Okay, you don't go to the bars anymore. That's some growth. Okay, you don't do this anymore. You don't do that anymore. That's some growth. You do love the Lord. That's growth. You spend some time in prayer. That's growth. But see, I wonder from the Lord's perspective when He looks at our heart, how grown up is the seed compared to the me trees? Wonder if you can see through the leaves down through there and see the sapling of the new life from God's perspective. But now the good news is, mustard seed faith works on that seed, causes the image to grow up. And look what he says. It grows up, and if you learn how to make it grow, it becomes greater than all herbs, meaning it becomes greater than anything else in your heart. It'll start shooting out great branches so that even the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. He's talking about a tree that is a mighty tree, a ministry tree that's going to produce so much fruit. All of White Plains, all of Connecticut, all of New York City, this whole area will be able to come. Can you see the day? And I'm not just talking about it would happen anywhere where the new nature is allowed to grow up to full maturity, to where the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and I especially like this one, the maimed are made whole. The maimed. That means when they come in missing a foot, and at the end of the service they leave with 2 feet. Do y'all know that's in there? It's in there. You read it. When the head of the church is allowed to run the services, the maimed are made whole. They leave with both feet, and I don't mean one plastic one. Now you start getting some of that. You reckon there's going to be some cars lined up bringing their deaf, blind children? You think there might some folks start paying attention if we had a gospel with some power instead of word only? He says the nature of the seed has to take over our garden. It's got to smother out the me trees. And that's hard. That is really hard. And the really hard thing about it is, you can't do it. Man, you know, I believe it's Isaiah, one of the prophets. Can a leopard change his spots? Can man change himself? I mean, one of the purposes of God giving the law to a spiritually dead people was to prove to the whole human race, man can't change himself by his own self-effort. You can't change yourself. So what did God do? He says, well, they can't change themselves, that's for sure. I'm going to offer freely, by grace, all they have to do is receive it by faith, my life in seed form through my Son. I will sow it into their heart free. And if they're hungry, if they really want it, all they have to do is learn how to nurture that nature. And it will smother out all the other stuff in their life till eventually the image of Christ comes to full stature. And they will be able to walk as Him, talk as Him, have the same results He had. And that's exactly what Jesus said. The works that I do shall ye do also. Well, how do you start? All right. Now back to Matthew again. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Well, what kind of prayer? There's all kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of faith, prayer of consecration, all kinds of prayers, isn't there? Well, one thing for sure that he's not talking about is what we would commonly call the prayer of faith or the prayer of authority. Because they just tried that to cast out that devil, and it didn't work, did it? You know what he's really talking about? He is really telling them the day's coming when you're going to be born again, and I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He is the one sent from heaven, the only teacher, really, for the body of Christ, and he is sent specifically to nurture that new nature and cause it to grow up on the inside of you. That's real prayer when we start praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 puts it this way, brethren, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, would y'all consider Paul a threat to the devil? He's the most dangerous man alive. That's why everywhere he went, the devil did everything he could to kill him. Shipwrecks, beaten with rods, beaten, stoned, left for dead. False brethren in peril of this, in peril of that. Everywhere he went, the devil did everything he could to stop him because he's the most dangerous man on the planet from the devil's point of view. And you know what Paul said was the reason why? Because of the abundance of my revelations. Now, where did he get those revelations? That same man says in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Previously in that chapter, he said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. What mysteries? How to open blind eyes. How to call on the image and the power of the Holy Ghost to open deaf ears. For the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the maimed to be made whole. I'm looking for that one. I'm looking for that one. The maimed being made whole. I can't wait till the first time CBS and ABC and NBC, their cameras are all trained right here in this church. And the prayer of faith is really made in the name of Jesus, and somebody who came in without an arm, while it's being broadcast on national TV, the whole nation watches the arm grow out. Those that have turned the world upside down have come to White Plains also. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And it all comes. But do you notice the process there in Mark where he says, this won't happen until the seed smothers everything else. Now, I told you all yesterday about that list, the two lists. Just 6 months praying in other tongues. And I discovered it later because my first prayer list was very selfish, very me. 6 months later, because the job I had, y'all know, was praying 40, 50, 60 hours a week driving long-haul trucks. Nothing else to do anyway, just pray. Turn off the radio, turn off the CB and pray. 6 months later, I make another list. I'd forgotten about the first one. I discovered them both a year later. I could not believe the difference in my heart motivations. Just 6 months praying a whole lot in other tongues. And I'm going, my goodness, what's happening to me? He is beginning to bring forth the image within the seed. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to start just might as well know now. As the Holy Ghost is merciless on our sacred cows. You think he is merciless on traditions of men? He don't care if your daddy believed it, and his daddy believed it, and his daddy before him believed it. If it's not truth, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is the Spirit of truth. And I'm here to tell you, I have found out from hard experience, he has no fellowship with lies. I'm talking about, especially doctrine-wise, and he won't cut. He'd be just as abrupt with you as Jesus was there. Why couldn't we do it? Littleness of your faith. I'm sorry I asked. Boy, I'm glad I asked in private at least. See? And the Holy Ghost is just that way. I mean, he'll Boy, he will not put up with that stuff. You know, now he's gentle in the way he does it, but what I mean is he just will not compromise with you. Well, can I walk in truth and hold on to that old tradition too? Can, but you won't walk in power. Yeah, you can hang on to all the traditions you want. It's not true. You won't walk in any power because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and He can only anoint truth. See, that's why... Oh, God, I better not go there. But that's why... Jesus warned even then. He says, be careful. Beware the doctrine, the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, those guys were standing in the pulpit, and as far as the people knew, everything they said was God. And Jesus says, by what they're saying to you, they are robbing widows' houses. And it's still going on today. Get my tapes. I cannot go there right now. Still going on today. Almost identically the same doctrine on every TV channel you watch. Can't go there right now. Trust me. All right. Notice he says prayer, and that's pretty much what we're talking about tonight. I want to talk. How many of you are serious now that you know what mustard seed faith is? Are you serious about bringing forth that image? Can you see at least one of the things he said to do was pray? All right. Now, you've been praying, haven't you?
Yes. Amen.
If not, we're going to have an altar call right now.
Yes.
Now, if we're going to go into this and walk somewhere we've never been, let's just tell it like it is. Let's be honest. It's not churchy. Whatever we've been doing prayer-wise, it's got to change. It has got to change. If we're going to go somewhere we've never been, we're going to have to do some things we've never done. Isn't that right? What's that definition of insanity? That's to keep doing the same thing for 20 years and expect different results. That's insane. That'll never work. Now, how the Holy Ghost... I'll tell you how He has me do it. You just talk to Him your own self. I'm just telling you what He did to me now, okay? I'm not your Holy Ghost. He gave me this example. See, because most of us do have good intentions. We do intend to pray more. Don't you intend to pray more? But do you remember, again, you know, Pharaoh in the Old Testament's a type and a shadow of the devil. So here's, let my people go. We're going out into the wilderness to serve our God. What's the first thing Pharaoh did? First thing, take away their straw and make them make the same number of bricks. We're going to get them so busy. They're going to be so frazzled and worn out and tired, they'll forget all about wanting to go out there and serve God in the wilderness. That was his first tactic. Get them too busy. Distract them with busy stuff. And boy, if that's not America today. In fact, we all have good intentions. We're all going to pray. Yes, yes, I heard that message. That carpenter guy, that guy from Oklahoma, he pumped me up. I'm going to pray. Glory to God. I want that mustard seed faith. And tomorrow, and especially if you mean it, especially if you mean that in your heart. Now, the same Jesus that taught us this also said, Satan cometh immediately. And he sees you make that decision. On the authority of Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now, in the morning, you got trouble coming. Distraction. Trying to just live your life that day with less straw. Less time. So that you forget all about that commitment. In 2 or 3 days, usually of that, what kind of stuff? Could be anything. Flat tire in the morning. Dishwasher quit working. Stubbed your toe, broke it. This and that, this and that. Aunt Susie decided that this was the month she's going to come stay with you. You know? You know, knocks on your door. You didn't know she's coming. She's got her suitcases. You're in trouble. You know? You know what I'm saying? And so what he had me do, he says, you know, and this is an example he taught me with. Anyone ever have a toothache?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they're painful. When you have a toothache, you want help. Isn't that right? I mean, if it's really a bad, like an abscess, you need to see a dentist. Now, I don't know how it is around the New York area, but in Oklahoma, our dentists are busy. Okay? I can call. I mean, your jaw can be swollen out 3 inches. You can barely talk to them on the phone. Hello? I'm really hurting. I can't hardly talk. I am in pain. And they tell you, well, yes, we understand that. However, our dentist is a very professional man, and he will not be able to see you until 2 weeks from Tuesday. I'm going to die if you don't help me. Please help me. And so let's say, so they have mercy on you, and you hear paper shuffling, and she's looking through the calendar, you know. She says, okay, okay. I can squeeze a little here and push a little there. We'll squeeze you in this Thursday at 10 a.m. You got that? Thursday at 10 a.m.
Thank you. I'll be there. I'll be there.
Now, if you're in that kind of pain, I mean, if you have to rearrange your life, talk to the job, talk to your boss, threaten to quit. I mean, when you're in that kind of pain, you're going to get somebody else to take the kids to school. Or you know what I'm saying? You're going to do what it takes to keep that appointment. Why? Because you know that man can help you. Yet when it comes to our time with God, the Holy Ghost, the one who has been sent to have an appointment of prayer with you, He is the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the paraclete, the strengthener, the Spirit of truth, and you're going to go visit Him if you have time? Boy, I had to repent. Now, He will pray for you anytime you let Him, as long as you let Him. You know that. But Lord, that kind has not got us into enough maturing of the image. So He got real down and dirty with me. That's just the way I thought. He got real serious with me, but I mean by that. He said, you're going to schedule time with me like you would at least a dentist? You're going to have enough respect to come schedule some time with me like you would schedule an appointment with a dentist or a doctor? So I got me just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I just wrote across the top, columns, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And down the left margin, time, broken up, you know, 24-hour day, broken up in one-hour increments. And then I started thinking, okay, now I can't pray Wednesday night. We have church. Can't pray Sunday morning during these hours because we have church, and I blocked those out. Then there were some other things. Many of you have a job from maybe 9 to 5. You may have to block that out. And then, of course, there's Sue Day at our house. Every Monday is Sue Day. We blocked that out. The Holy Ghost told me, Monday is Sue Day. And let me tell you, it is Sue Day. Whatever Sue wants to do, that's what we do. More ministries have been broken apart by divorce because they get so busy, they have no time for each other anymore. And the Lord didn't want us to get a divorce, and I don't want us to get a divorce, and she don't want us to get a divorce. So we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And if the Holy Ghost says, Monday is Sue Day, bless God, Monday is Sue Day, and you can't reach me. We turn the phones off, we get out of the house. You don't know where we are. We go have a nice meal. Sometimes just take a drive in the country. You go to a museum. If there's a decent movie, we might go see it. If. That's a big if. You know? But Monday, Sue Day. Now what in the world was I talking about? Oh, scheduling time with the Holy Ghost. Now see, all of you had good intentions to pray a lot last week. And most of you right now are going, yeah, I intended to pray more. What happened? And you don't even know what happened to your time. So you don't know what happened to it. You just know you never really got around to it, maybe a little bit. You know? But as far as getting real serious about nurturing this seed, if we don't do something to start scheduling our time. So I went through that process, blocked out the periods of time when I knew I couldn't pray. And you know what was really scary? The amount of white space that was still on that paper available to pray. Most of us think we're so busy, we have no time to pray. I challenge you. Just take a sheet of paper and do exactly, don't have to be nothing fancy. Just do exactly that. Block out the times when you know that you can't be praying. You know, I have a hard time praying while I eat. It's messy. You know, anyway. You know, messes up my shirts. So, but I started doing that. And what I mean is get specific. Like, okay, what is today? What is today? Tuesday? All right, Tuesday. See, normally, if we were in Tulsa and not on the road in a normal situation, I would know today what time tomorrow morning I'm going to be in prayer with the Holy Ghost. I know what time my appointment is. I have it already scheduled. I know how long I'll be there. You with me? All right. I know the same thing. I know when I'm going to start. I know when I'm going to stop. And then I've got other things scheduled that I need to do. And the thing of it is, I know when I'm going to start Thursday and when I'm going to stop Thursday. And by the way, on Thursdays right now, I have two shifts of prayer. I have one shift in the morning till about mid-morning. And then I get my work done from mid-morning to about mid-afternoon. And then I go back in prayer for another shift. See, it doesn't matter. But it does matter if it don't ever get done. That's what matters. If we're going to get serious about, okay, any of you ever grow a garden? Can you just water that thing whenever you want to? What, can you just go hoe the weeds if you feel like it? You've got to do that stuff on purpose and when it needs to be done. Isn't that right? This is not that different. So when Jesus says, this kind of unbelief cometh not out but by prayer, is the first half, we're going to have to start doing something with our prayer life that is different than what we've done in the past. And literally begin scheduling some time. Now, some of you that's brand new to this type of message and praying in the Spirit, you might say, well, what is my first goal? I always tell everybody, your first goal is a minimum of 1 hour a day. And the reason I say that, Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? I don't think in a 24-hour day, 1 hour alone with the Lord is too much, do you? Especially if the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, is going to take that hour and make perfect intercession for you for that hour. Hallelujah. Doing pretty good here. All right. Now, the things that start happening. Anyone in here ever hear of a phrase called an impasse? You know what an impasse really is? We're going to stay with the symbology. We're going to stay with the
symbolism.
Thank you, babe. The symbolism of the me tree field. You really know what an impasse is? When you start praying, and the image of Christ starts growing up on the inside of you, it starts putting pressure against the me trees. Okay? It's starting to smother them out. It's starting to put pressure against some of these me trees, things in your life that you've loved and held dear, and suddenly you can hear cracking in the trunk of one of the me trees. That image of Christ is pushing the thing over. And something in you goes, but I like that tree. I like man's attention, for example. I like this, or I like that. See, in my case, one of the first trees that got pushed over. I'm only 5'8". Right now, at least when I left Tulsa, I weighed 180 pounds. Well, that's not skinny for a 5'8" guy, is it? But see, driving trucks, I got up to 220 pounds. The first cracking of the me tree I ever had, the first impasse. The Holy Ghost brought me an instruction from the mind of Christ. And it says, I want you to lose 40 pounds. Crack. What was that cracking noise? That was the trunk of a me tree that didn't give a rip that I weighed 220 pounds. I could care less that I weighed 220 pounds. And all of a sudden now, I've been praying, and there's pressure coming against the me tree. All right? Now, I have to tell you, I had to think about that. I mean, you know, it's hard in the first place. I had all these excuses. I drive trucks. It's a dedicated route. I don't get to choose what highway I'm on. I don't even get to choose what fuel stops I stop at. I have no choice but to eat in these greasy truck stops. Jesus, what's wrong with you? I can't lose 40 pounds. You know, making excuses. You know what happens then when you pray, when you make excuses like that? You know what you hear? Silence. He ain't going to talk to you about step two till you take step one. So he let me fuss and fume and argue with him for a couple of days about how I couldn't be done, justifying why I was so overweight, so forth and so on, you know. And finally, I said, okay, all right, I'm willing to do it, Lord. Could you show me how? I really don't know how out here. Do you know, instantly I started hearing him again. And I just wrote it out in longhand on a spiral notebook that I had. Just wrote it out. He gave me a step-by-step plan how, even eating at those truck stops, how I could do it with no exercise. I mean, you just sit and drive is all you do. But still yet, he gave me a plan on how to do it. And in how many months was it? I don't know. Wasn't very long.
Just about a year.
11 months, something like that. Sure enough, 40 pounds come off. That was in 1993, and as of when I went from 220 to 180. When I left Tulsa to come here, I was 180, but y'all been fattening me up since then, I'm sure. I'm going to have to go back on the thing when I get back. Now, those impasses are when all of a sudden the image of Christ is starting. He wants change now. Oh, by the way, the reason that I have other faults that I would have thought, were more important than me losing 40 pounds. But what I didn't know was about a year later, the devil was going to hit me with a heart attack, and I come within a breath of dying. And in retrospect, I go, I wonder if I would have survived that if I was carrying an extra 40 pounds around my heart. See, the Holy Ghost knows what you need. He knows what you need better than you know what you need, and he's not religious about it either. And if he tells you to lose 40 pounds, it's not because he's being religious. There is a reason for it, for the kingdom and for you. You with me? So in retrospect, now I understand why. He knew that the enemy was going to make a full bore run at me to take me off the planet. And I just don't think I'd have survived it. I come that close to dying anyway. Extra 40 pounds? Give me a break. But you might as well know ahead of time, if you think the devil is going to let you hear a message like this, that if we get one in this whole congregation to do this, to the point that the image of Christ comes to full measure, to the point that this becomes a place where they can bring the blind, the halt, the maimed, the cripples, the muscular sclerosis, cerebral palsy, if this becomes a place where somebody, because they had mustard seed faith enough, so that the whole city can come and feed off the fruit on those branches, you think the enemy is going to let that happen without opposition?
No.
You might as well know everything. He is going to oppose you. It says Satan comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. So part of it is just impasses that come in the natural because it puts pressure on the me tree. But if you really start doing this, you're going to become worthy of the devil's attention. And just like, do y'all think Paul got worthy of the devil's attention?
Oh, yes.
What would be the modern day equivalent of a shipwreck?
Car wreck.
You got it. We had one guy at the prayer center, had 9 car wrecks in a row. 9 in a row. I mean, you know, why? Satan comes immediately. Somebody might say, he's a really bad driver. No, he wasn't. I mean, it was really supernatural. And most people soon, and that's what Jesus said, when persecution or affliction arises for the word's sake, most of them are offended. What does that mean? They quit. I'm just going to, you charge hell with a water pistol, get your eyebrows singed off a couple of times, raise the truce flag. I'm just going to be a good Christian now. I'm just going to go back to the first church and be a pew sitter now. I just want to make heaven now, that's all. I don't want any reward. I just want to make heaven. Well, that's why the devil does that. He's trying to beat you back where you belong, you nothing you, from the devil's sight. Who do you think you are? This is my planet and I rule. That's what the devil's boasting. And the church has let him. I think it's high time we quit that. Don't you? Now, real quickly, to just introduce fasting. See, and I'm not going to spend as much time on prayer and fasting as I would at some churches because I know that These are staples that Pastor Christie teaches all the time here. Fasting is something that I know he teaches all the time. But I want to say a few things about these because sometimes hearing the same truth just said a different way will impact a person. They may get something out of it they never got before. Let me tell you about fasting. I've still never done one of those long ones like Dave has. I've never done a prophet's fast, 40 days. Okay? In fact, I resisted fasting. I was willing to pray. Man, I pray till my tongue fall out on the floor, okay? But I'll just be honest with you. I didn't like that fasting one little bit. I'd usually start a 40-day fast and finish it by noon. See, I thought it meant fast. You know, quick. Yeah, I could finish my 40-day fast by noon, you know. And it's just amazing how many of those 40-day fasts by noon things I did. And, you know, and before I really started getting into any serious fasting, I mean, Dave would teach eloquently about this. And I know that Pastor Christie does the same. He teaches those same lessons. And he would teach it, but still yet in my mind, yeah, I was having a hard time. I'm an engineer by training. And my analytical mind was going, what in the world does not eating food have to do with my faith? I could not for the life of me figure this out. Even though Dave would teach it, and he would teach it. Y'all know all the things. The flesh, feeling, spirit. Can't get past the flesh. You pray, build your spirit up. Pray, build your spirit up. Fast, bring the flesh down. There's a war going on. You know, you're building up. Pray, pray, pray. Fast, fast. And finally, the spirit man jumps on top. Hooray, hooray. I'm winning. Yay. And you get answered prayer. And there's fellowship, you know. And here comes the flesh. No, you don't. Bam, body slam. I'm ruling over here, see. I'd see Dave and I'd be just like you. I'd go, yeah, that makes sense. Until about noon on the first day of the fast.
Hamburger.
Plus, my flesh would negotiate with me. It would tell me things like, you know, they're running that double cheeseburger at Burger King for only 99 cents. They don't run it all the time. Now, if you just let me have one of those today, I promise I won't bother you. I'll let you pray all you want to. I won't give you any trouble whatsoever. And I'd go, sounds like a deal. Drive down to Burger King. Get that. Whoa, I love that double meat cheeseburger for 99 cents, you know. Eat that thing and find out my flesh lied to me. Try to go pray the next day and it didn't. It just gave me all kinds of fits, just like it did before. Lying flesh, you know. So every time I'd think about fasting or even try it, I get defeated real quick because part of it was this. I could not understand the relationship between my physical flesh and the faith that I have in my heart. I could not understand that. Well, there is no substitute for doing it. You know what I found out? See, I thought it was, because the way all the teachers, even Dave, would normally say it, they're always talking about the flesh. And I would always relate that to the mortal physical wrapping that we wear. But you know what I found out the first day I made it to about day two? Day two of a fast? You know where the real war is? The emotions.
Oh, yep.
Oh, I'm telling you. Now, why are most people, human beings, we're going to close in about 2 minutes. Those of you that weren't here, the Holy Spirit, when we have services at weeknights, normally has me finish the teaching portion at 9 o'clock. Because, now, He may minister after that, but you're free to go at 9. Because you got to work tomorrow, people got to drive, people got to do things. He'd rather you be able to come back and hear the rest of these than me hold you till 11 o'clock or midnight every night and you just wear out and not be able to finish, okay? So I'm going to hold to that unless he'd have to write with his finger on the wall to change it. So we're going to finish. We started a few minutes after 7:30, so we're about 9:05, we're done. Now, the second day of that fast, when I finally made it, I found out, this isn't just necessarily a war between my flesh and my spirit. A war of emotions hit me like a ton of bricks. And I knew enough about this already. Why are most people defeated? And I don't mean just Christians. You ever make a New Year's resolution? Maybe watch something, some good thing. No matter what it is. This year, maybe I'm going to lose some weight. This year, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start working out twice a week. This year, I'm going to quit using my credit cards. This year, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Can I get a witness? People have done stuff like that. Set out to do it. Fully intend to do it. See, we like to think that the strongest part of us is our willpower. That's what we like to think. I am a strong-willed person. And you start out well. Let's just use the let's use jogging. Okay? You set out the first day, you're jogging, you promised yourself you're going to jog 2 miles every day. Day one, you made it. Day two, you made it. And you may do pretty good for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month. Suddenly one day you wake up and nothing in you cares anymore. There's nothing, you look, there's nothing anywhere that even cares whether you ever jog again the longest day you live. What happened there? What happened? Well, you found out who was boss is what happened. Your emotions rose up and said, "All right, that's enough, Will. Sit down. I'll show you who's boss around here." Or ever set yourself like to pray and really pray, you know? Really pray. Get in there about 10 minutes. You look at the watch. I thought 2 hours surely had gone by. Oh my God, 10 minutes. Boy, I mean, here comes the emotions, don't they? And you find out who's boss. Fasting. Boy, if you want to start finding out who's boss, you start some of that fasting. You will trigger an emotional war right quick. And I found out in my own life, although I could persevere in many things, boy, when I didn't realize how much I loved my own flesh till I started depriving it of its cheeseburgers. And my emotions came to my flesh's rescue time and time again. Body slammed my little weak, puny spirit. Get over there and sit down and shut up. And now I find out who's ruling in this garden. And it's certainly not Christ. So prayer and fasting, Jesus said. We're going to get more into that. Okay, into specifics. But the prayer has everything to do with building up our spirit. Releasing the image that's in the seed. Causing it to grow to full stature. Fasting works on the emotions. All the realms of the soul. Here's another thing fasting really does. 2 minutes. I keep saying 2 minutes. No, I mean. What is it about us that just... I mean, yes, we care that our neighbors are going to hell, but not really enough to leave our easy chair and our television or whatever it is you like to do and go do something about that. Fasting fights complacency like nothing else I've ever seen. And if you combine the power twins on a regular, scheduled basis, prayer and fasting, you will not stay the way you are. The image will begin to grow up. It will take over your whole garden. And the whole area will be able to come and eat the fruit off of your tree. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.